Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome to a Thursday morning. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Steak Shapiro, Sandra Golden. We got our opening day music ready to rock and roll or something.
Baseball. Opening day. Let's go, Braves. Chop on for the A. Let's go.
I hope next Friday looks like today, because, man, this would have been a hell of a
perfect
day to be
day
at home, right?
Yeah, right.
Although
on.
I think, as Bo told us, the battery will be rocking and rolling. I just did V103 upstairs.
And how'd by that the, go?
Well, a couple of things. Congratulations to Big Tigger.
Tigger.
Big Tigger's got Little Tigger. He had his first baby. He's, of course, the host of the show up there, V103, Big Tigger Morning Show. So Frank Ski's filling in for him. I've known Frank for 30 years, me and him been in the business,
nice.
Right? And we talked about restaurants at the Battery. Everybody's got a favorite restaurant at the Battery. They have such a great combination of spots. I think it was Jazzy says she loves Punch Bowl Social. Other folks love Super Rica. Obviously, Sport and Social to watch the game. Goldberg's,
Antico,
Thielitz, Garden and Gun. I mean, they're loaded, man. So they'll be
if
rocking.
If you're rolling up there with Bobby, where are you going? Just pregame? You're going to go to a game?
You know what I'm going to say? That's a good question.
Thank you.
Well, we get to go to Super Rica because we already have one, but we love Super Rica.
Mm-hmm.
But probably grab a pie at Antico Pizza. The bars, that's the best bar of any of his locations, the Antico Pizza Bar, because they've got great TVs in there. So if we're going to get bougie, go to that Thielitz, sit on the patio right by the stadium.
I've never been to
Linton Hopkins, the chef there, does a great job.
I don't know that I'm going for a fancy steak dinner, though, prior to a ball game.
Don't ask me questions.
Okay, I'm giving you my two cents. Don't talk you while I talky.
Don't talk. When I'm talking, you're not talking. Bo just gave us the dollar sign. It's a little.
Is it? Yeah. So that's almost like you're going to the Battery and you're not going to go to the game.
You're taking out a big client. So before the game, they want a nice meal.
Mm-hmm.
That's a classic steakhouse. It's not outrageous to say we're going to sit on a patio and spend a little extra money. I'm not telling you have to do it every time.
I'm going to ask you something. I don't want you to scream. I just want you to take it down a notch.
Okay.
Am I wearing what I'm wearing to the game, though? So I've got my Sandy Golden jersey on. And I'm going to walk. So I'm asking you, in a nice steakhouse, are you okay to walk in there with shorts and a t-shirt and a hat?
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, Bo is saying
I've gone there after day games
a
lot.
All right. Well, this is clearing
cocktails?
It all up for me.
Yeah, so Tara and I, on some Sunday day games, will get off work and go to Thielitz and have oysters.
Okay. Yeah, they do a great job with that as a Louisiana guy. Although Zach Klein makes fun of me because a lot of times you see those shots of me at a game and I'm in a blazer. Or I'm with my, he's like, who, and he's not, you know, I'm not working. I mean, he has to do that because he's on television. Those guys are really handsome. So he's like, dude, what's with the blazer at the game? Sometimes, you know me, like where the airport, I fly.
Yeah.
I like to
I
dress
like it.
Nice,
you dress up. Dress how you want to be treated.
Yeah. So who says that? Your mom?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyways, what's your favorite spot, Day Day, at the Battery?
Me and Bo were just talking about it. I drew a blank on it, but it's a place where I like to take my boys because they have video games like TVs.
Oh.
Battle and Brew.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I like it because I can watch sports.
Yeah.
And they can play video games.
I think there's one of them.
And it's very reasonable price wise.
Yeah. There's one in Sandy Springs, I think, is the original. And also, the Punch Bowl Social. There's just so much going on there. Anyways, it's opening day. I can tell you this, and I've talked about this the last few weeks, that it just hits different in the Northeast because opening day in the Northeast suggests that you may be done with winter. That, like, the misery of being dark at 4:15 and freezing cold from October, November, December, January, February, like, you know, it's just Chicago, Philadelphia, New York, Boston. It's supposed to mean like, dude, we're on the downhill. It's all good from here, right?
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
You've seen plenty of days at Wrigley and Fenway and other places, New York with snow.
Snow, freezing,
you know?
Cold.
Yeah. But it's
Braves
supposed
on the
to
road,
mean
freezing,
that.
Freezing, terrible.
And it's the one day my parents let me skip school. It was the one day that, you know, and they weren't those parents that, you know, we'll figure, you know, you get a day, we'll go do, But like opening day baseball, get on the green line, head to Fenway, find a ticket outside, standing room only, and go in the ballpark, watching those two teams with the green grass on both sides, just like you'll see in San Diego today. I mean, I'm going to tell you, they're going to do a huge number on television today. I feel like people feel cheated from last year. They didn't see their favorite players. They know we didn't have our best lineup by the time we came around. I think people are just fired up.
I think when it comes to Braves country, it is a shift in the axis from, okay, we haven't had football in a while, and opening day, like me and my dad went to so many at Fulton County Stadium. It was America's team way back in the hundreds.
So you guys traveled from
Florida.
Yeah,
we come from Panama City up for opening day.
Wow, that is impressive.
And this is Bob Horner. This is that whole, I mean, that's when I grew up. And my dad,
Dale
and we were
Murphy,
so tight. Oh, my God.
Joe Torre, yeah. Bob Murphy.
Yeah. So, and then just through the years, and I do
Bob
feel
Horner.
Like in Atlanta with Braves country being throughout the Southeast, this is a shift in the axis. Today is a special day because they're now for 6 months, our lives are like certainly not based around, but every night, every afternoon, where are the Braves on? We're going to sit and watch it. We're going to have some supper. It's just a great, great day. And I'm super optimistic.
I would
optimistic.
Say talking to a lot of transplants, and they're trying to understand Atlanta. And it's like, if you're going to understand Atlanta, you have to understand SEC football. You have to understand Saturdays, people going to Knoxville and people going to Tuscaloosa and Auburn and Columbia and Athens.
Yep.
And you have to understand what the Braves mean. Summertime in this market and the Atlanta Braves, like it is embedded. Braves country is a real thing. And it is a enormous monster fan base. So when folks talk about Atlanta as a sports town, it's like, dude, please.
I totally agree.
We got Georgia football and Braves baseball. We got State Farm Arena. Andrew Saltzman's going to be in here talk about the games coming up this weekend. But, you know, we got a lot going on in terms of, what resonates. And this is a market where you got to earn it.
100%.
And the Braves earn it. I mean, say what you want. Everybody else, the Braves earn it. They go to World Series. They go to playoffs. They have Hall of Famers. This year we have a chance to win a title. You knew last year we had a chance to win a title. You knew the year before we had a chance because we did. Like, every year, I don't know, can a team with Chris Sale and Spencer Strider and Ronald Acuna and Ozzie Albies and Austin Riley and Matt Olson, can they win a title? Yeah.
You bet
so
they can.
That's how you build a history of loyalty, right? That's how you build a 12-year-old into a 30-year-old buying season tickets.
100%.
Is that every
and
year?
And the trickle-down effect. What is America's team, y'all? Our parents, we were
TBS.
All watching. And even Mike Johnson, who didn't grow up here, he grew up in the Panhandle. His parents watched the Braves.
Well,
trickle on down.
You summed it up when you said you're in Panama City.
Oh, yeah.
But that was your team because there weren't.
It was
teams in
TBS. Yeah, there weren't teams in Florida at that point, but it was just I remember my dad watching TBS as long as I can remember the TV being on, and we were watching the Braves.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So
I know a lot of y'all feel the same way. Like everybody's got a story of the Braves are part of my DNA. It is DNA Atlanta. It's so true. So
Buster Olney will join us at 10 a.m. We will preview the season. We'll let him explain why everybody is in love with the Mets and the Dodgers and they were the Yankees until those major injuries and the Phillies a little bit as well. And who may surprise us here? We got over-under bets on the season and championship numbers on the season, all kinds of other stuff. That's coming up. We're also going to learn more about everything happening downtown at State Farm. Salsa's going to be in the building coming up, we hope, if he's on time. No, I said, just you want to talk up State Farm? You better be here. We got that coming up, and we got our 9 at 9.
Chris Sale and Michael King will be on the mound. Braves and Padres in San Diego. First pitch is 4:10 as we begin the campaign. Go ahead.
No, I haven't looked at the number. I'd imagine Braves are a considerable favorite with Chris Sale on the mound. So I'll take a look at that number for you in a second.
If you had to bet $1,000 today.
$1,000.
To win the World Series. Do you want to make it 100? Do you want to make it 500?
Well,
I wanted to keep you interested because when I say $10, you don't really.
No, say $100 because you get odds. So
okay.
You get 6 to 1, 8 to 1, whatever it is.
All right. The Dodgers are the favorite, big shock, at plus 230. The Braves are next, y'all, at plus 850.
So they're second in Vegas in terms of winning it, huh? Mm-hmm.
Winning the World Series. If you go to put futures on, okay. Yankees at plus 900. The Phillies and Mets are close at both 1,100.
I mean, think about the Yankees. You lose Soto and you lose Garrett Cole, and you know, and the Yankees are still one of the favorites, which tells you what, you know, how loaded that lineup is and put together. But
okay, and you have not looked at this because I told him not to look at it yet, but I'm going to have him guess. What do you think the win total is for the Dodgers? The win total.
99.
103.5.
Yeah, I don't think there's been a number that large, I would guess, in a lot of years.
Right.
You know, I don't think you do over-unders over 100. But again, there's never been a team put together quite like that.
Braves
either
are at 93.5, followed by the Phillies and the Mets, and it trickles on down. The Chicago White Sox, bless their hearts, 53.5 wins for them. So I don't know if you just feel like doing a little something for the future.
Braves
do it today.
Are minus 120. So they're a very, very small favorite today against a Padre team that knocked them out of the playoffs last year, right?
That's exactly right. Yep. Yeah. The madness continues. Your Sweet 16. I'll quickly go through the games for tonight. BYU-Alabama is at 7:09. That's your first game there in Newark, New Jersey. Maryland-Florida is 7:39. They're playing in San Francisco. 9:39 has Arizona-Duke. And then at 10 o'clock, it is Arkansas and Texas Tech. 10:09, that's your nightcap. So those are the games tonight.
Okay. Wow.
Right? How about the number one seed Florida being in San Francisco?
Number one seed, yeah, but that's because they're the number one seed, but they're the third or fourth number one seed.
Yeah.
Duke gets to stay close to home. They're the East. And, of course, Auburn gets to stay at home, essentially,
right,
by being number one in the South. So you could have made the Gators a two and been here, but they want to be a number one seed, so they're out there, right?
Yeah.
I don't imagine – I mean, I'm sure hardcore Gator fans, but – listen, Auburn fans got to drive an hour. Gator fans have to fly on this side of the country. That's a big difference. That's why you want that. That's why you want that number one seed, right?
Yep, that's right.
All right, good stuff, Sandra. We have a lot to get to today. It's the fastest 2 hours in radio. Andrew Salza will be in studio. Salza from State Farm and the Hawks. We'll talk about this weekend. Incredible weekend in the ATL. And everything you need to know about when these games are tipping off and who's going to be there. How do you get these fan bases in and out? I think it's going to be fun. That's it. Steak and Sandra on a Thursday morning. Sports Radio 92.9. Sports Radio 92.9, the game. Steak Shapiro, Sandra Golden, opening day Braves. Also, March Madness. Also, the Hawks tonight in, where are we tonight?
Miami.
We should ask this guy to my right, Andrew Saltzman, otherwise known as Salsa.
In the house.
President of Business for the Atlanta Hawks and State Farm Arena. You know what he is? He's about the business. He's about the business of the business. So he's got a big weekend coming up. I put it to you like, well, for the guy that gets all the phone calls about tickets, maybe it's not the best for him, but like a jackpot for the city. Two SEC teams, Michigan and Michigan State. So pretty good lineup, right?
Amazing. Killer. It's going to be fabulous. You know, again, Auburn, Michigan, late game, 9:40. Wow. That's going to be insane. Of course, Michigan State and Ole Miss early game. It's going to be killer.
To get a second night. SEC team, right, in Ole Miss.
It just couldn't. I'm literally, as Ole Miss, I couldn't have worked out any better.
Is it predominantly Auburn requests more than any other team you're getting or not?
Auburn probably number one. Michigan right behind it, number two. Michigan State. I mean, it's not that Michigan State's such a huge base. I mean, the influential C-level people from this town who are coming in from Michigan State is just ridiculous.
They're ready to spend whatever, right?
Oh, my God. And it is a rabid, rabid fan base.
So when you go to Michigan State, so that's Magic and that's Steve Smith and that's, I'm trying to think of like whatever it is. Like, they don't just lean into supporting Michigan State and Izzo. They are all in, like...
It's a huge school, by the way. I mean, it's a massive, massive school, mm-hmm. So...
Imagine if Michigan and Michigan State played on Sunday, what that would mean in a Big Ten matchup of that rivalry. One of them goes to the Final Four. Now, Auburn fans, most of them are listening. You know, we have more Auburn fans. We'll get to that in a second. How?
And of course, our buddy who worked for us back at the other station, Bruce Pearl.
Yes.
Amazing guy, great friend. So it's tough because I got a lot of Michigan connection. I mean,
Do your nieces go to Michigan?
Niece went to Michigan. Just a lot of Michigan people I work with, the Hawks. And so huge Michigan contingent. A good friend of mine at State Farm, big Michigan guy. So it's
But Bruce Pearl is a mishpucha.
Torn between two lovers.
Bruce Pearl is a mishpucha. Right?
He's
the all-timer. Oof. All right, so let's talk about the building.
Tell everybody that it's not – I didn't realize this, that the NCAA holds all the cards for the tickets.
Yeah, that's what they do, and that's great. And they take great care of us, and they, in essence, rent the building, and it's their inventory. And
so they own the tickets, the NCAA.
And everywhere they go, yes. Yeah. They control the inventory.
Right.
But it's a great thing for us for a lot of different reasons. And
so let me ask a dumb question. If I have a suite at State Farm that we pay for on an annual basis,
you have an opportunity to buy. Correct.
Okay, gotcha.
But before you know what it goes on sale, before you know what the teams are.
I see.
That's
okay.
Had to have already bought it?
Yeah, and there are tickets still. You can go to Ticketmaster.com, and there are still verified resale tickets. Okay. Verified, that's the best place to go. Go to Ticketmaster.com. And again, make sure you go to StateFarmArena.com just in terms of get there early, buy your parking early is what you want to do. Come down.
Buy your parking.
Buy your parking early. Go to StateFarmArena.com and make sure you lock in where you want to park. You want to take MARTA. Make it a great – it's going to be an amazing, amazing night at State Farm Arena on Friday night.
How do you – I mean, Atlanta gets it all the time, and I don't know – you know, obviously it's Dan Corso. It's the Atlanta Sports Council. It's everything we do with the infrastructure of our city to get big sporting events. But what is the process? Do you have to bid to get a regional like this, a Sweet 16 regional?
Yeah, sure. You go to, you bid on it with the NCAA, and you look at where the regionals are this year. Pretty fast. I mean, you got San Francisco at the Chase Center, which is great venue, the Prudential Center.
Is that the Warriors venue?
It's where the Warriors play. You got the Prudential Center where the Devils play right across the Hudson River in New York. Jersey.
Okay.
And then because of Indianapolis, just the way they do it, and I heard Mike earlier, they play that game at Lucas Oil Stadium. So that's actually in the setup that you would do for a Final Four.
Yeah, I don't like that.
But it's Indianapolis. It's the home base of the NCAA. And again, they do a great job. And then, of course, here at State Farm Arena.
Yeah, the best building of all.
No question.
Listen, you and I have been to a lot of Final Fours. And, you know, when you go with Salsa, you're probably sitting in pretty good seats. But there's no question the sight lines of domes compared to what you're going to get at State Farm, it's night and day, which is what, if you haven't been with the four schools all coming in with their, I love the band part, the cheerleader part, the transferring over of, like, that group leaves, next one comes. The energy of an event like this is maybe my favorite in sports.
No question. You think about, we had the State Farm Classic in November this year, which was incredible. And that's where you got your Kentucky and your Michigan State and your Kansas. It's just, and Duke, it's just electric. And just to see those two.
Tip off for Duke, Kentucky.
And these games matter. I mean, one of these teams is going to San Antonio. They matter.
Yeah. The Sunday game. What time is tip off on Sunday?
We don't know yet. We won't know. It'll be 2:20 or 5:20. Right. We won't know.
Based on what's the better game?
They won't know the end of Friday night. You'll get
that
late Friday night.
You gotta assume if Auburn's in it, that's the number one overall. You would have to
remember what happens when you assume, Sandy.
Yes. I want to just throw this out there because I don't think you have looked.
Okay.
To get in on the, and there's only one session. Am I saying that right? In other words,
one
the first
session,
game,
two games.
Perfect.
Yes.
Okay. So take a guess for the cheapest ticket. To get in, two tickets together.
Okay.
Good or bad ticket?
Are we
to
doing
get
a per ticket? Are we doing a
per
ticket?
Ticket?
$450.
You want to guess?
$350.
$986.
No way.
For two or for one?
For one. One ticket. Unbelievable per entry.
The price.
And that's before
the price
the fees.
Of doing business with Salsa just went
up. No, please.
And by the way, these are terrible seats.
Relative.
You know what?
There are no terrible seats in State Farm Arena.
Right. Well, I'm telling you, I'm not telling you these are on court side. These are really up top.
There really are no bad seats there. But they're up top. You're telling me the get in is 900?
986.
That's impressive.
I asked for two together, so if I put in just one ticket, it probably will go down a little if you want to sit by yourself.
You want them together. That's great. I mean, that's great for the city.
There you go.
That's a good thing for you or not? I mean, we like
it. It's a great thing. Yeah. I mean, that's what you want.
Can you look up the Duke tickets? Because I promise you they're regional.
I think the San Francisco regional with Florida out there is not the same level of velocity.
Yeah. It's not. The ticket is not as valued as this is. So
it's demand.
Can you explain to me how, when you look behind the basket or when you look, in the stands, it's a completely different fan base for the early game and the late game, but yet they're all kind of holding the same. You get tickets for both.
There's no model that you clear the building and bring in another session.
Yet, you just seems to be like, I don't know.
These games, this is what's going to happen. You know, if you're a huge Auburn or Michigan, maybe you're getting there at halftime.
Right.
Hopefully you're getting there beforehand and enjoying great basketball. Mindset is, we're going to play one of these teams.
Right.
Remember, you have to buy. Remember, the way you do it is you have to buy the strip.
Oh, you have to buy NCAA, Sunday.
You have to
also
buy the strip. You have you to buy that? A strip.
No.
A strip is for both games on Friday and the game on Sunday. You have to buy the strip.
You can't buy just Saturday. Friday. Sorry.
So that's why that number is what it is on Ticketmaster.
Probably.
That's exactly why
that's
is.
Why. Yes.
There you go.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you're getting.
I don't know if you can check out just for Friday night or whatnot, but
you just said it.
Allow you to search it. Yeah.
So go on. So
that's why typically some people wait and not go Friday. And if they win Sunday, just like a Final Four Monday championship game, two teams leave.
It's much easier to get a ticket for a national title on a Monday than it is for the Final Four on Saturday.
Always.
Because you have 20,000, 30,000 people getting rid of their ticket. Because they're leaving town.
It was like the ACC tournament back in the day when those sessions were over and your team was lost.
Right.
There was a whole thing going out
outside,
in the lobby.
Right.
You know, I've got two for whatever, so that's the way to do it.
So if you want to go Sunday, you have a better chance than Friday, possibly.
Right.
So, folks, also there's like a gentlemanliness, like, hey, your team's coming up next. You guys can move up here. We'll go.
People being there by halftime. If you're a big Michigan or Auburn person, you're going to get there at least by halftime of the first game.
It's a pretty good sporting event to watch. Which is Michigan State and Ole Miss, a great SEC team, the best Big Ten team playing. I don't know if you're a sports fan, and then all the cocktails and everything else and food at State Farm, right?
Yeah.
But the heavyweight one is going to be Auburn and Michigan, right?
One would think.
And the building will be rocking and rolling, right?
9:42.
What are you hearing about the buzz downtown? Like, just going to be activity 3-4 days worth of it, right?
Great energy. It'll be a lot going on, obviously. Beautiful weekend.
The most fun we ever had, and we owned 790 The Zone for 17 years, and we had a lot of fun over the years.
Oh, my God.
God knows. A lot of potential lawsuits, marriages, divorces.
Is it true that we took a few liberties?
We may have taken the Final Four run with Georgia Tech that we traveled the entire time.
04.
But it was the Sweet 16 weekend? That was in St. Louis? The weekend before?
I think so.
Yes. When they beat Kansas.
EJ Elder, Ishmael Muhammad.
They beat Kansas on Sunday, and it was a home game for Kansas, essentially, because it was St. Louis. But just being there all weekend, you're at the hotel when they win on Friday night. The band's playing in the lobby. The team comes back with Paul Hewitt and company. All the fans know what the team hotel is. And then you have two full days, right, to just wait around for the time. That's what it'll be like here. Whoever wins on Friday, they'll be back at the hotel.
Totally.
Partying their butt off, waiting for Sunday night.
I had Michigan fans in my hotel last night at the bar. They're all dressed in Michigan. They're here
for Belly Yard?
The game. Yeah, at the Belly Yard.
Look at you.
Look at you.
You're so fancy.
Oh, yeah. Fancy. Yep. I thought it was cool because I just love, and they were talking about, we just come in a couple days early. The flights were cheaper. We're just enjoying the seat. They're going to the aquarium today.
Right.
You know, like,
no, it's
like,
great
that's
for
so
Atlanta.
Great.
It's great State Farm Arena.
I thought so too.
When you have state of the art facilities like we have, and it's adorable watching the Charlottes and all these other towns,
adorable.
The Nashville's, you know, we we are the big time.
Like, I agree.
You know, and you'll see it this weekend. All right, Salsa's here. He's president of the business stuff going on with the Hawks. What's the summer concert series look like? How competitive does it get? Also, we'll tailgate Kirby, Gunnar Stockton. You're going to love this if you're a dog fan. It's all coming up. Fastest 2 hours in radio. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Steak Shapiro and Sandra Golden.
Hey, what are you doing today? Why don't you go hang out with Dukes and Bell? They're going to be at the Twin Peaks in Buckhead getting you all things ready for regional basketball. That's again today. Twin Peaks, Buckhead, brought to you by Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Did you put this on because there's a line in this song? First of all, the fact that you don't tailor your bumper music to your guest, a little deflating.
You want us to play some great...
There's a line in this song that says, I saw a deadhead sticker on a Cadillac, Boys of Summer. So there is kind of a dead character.
Right. You didn't know that about him, did you? No. Salsa's a big deadhead, you know.
God forbid he doesn't wear his... He has his Braves hanky. I know it's opening day. We love our friends of the Braves. Derek Schiller, shout out, but... Could wear some Hawks gear for me.
Hawks have the best gear, man. He says, get him some Hawks gear. Be happy to wear it.
Done.
Hawks gear.
You guys did used to roll in here with such gifts for us of presents. Cutest little Hawks. Because your women's gear, I must say.
My wife loves the Hawks
gear. I don't know who's designing.
The Lululemon. We have an amazing, shout out to Amy Serino. We have an amazing head of brand merchandising, runs all our retail. Brilliant lady.
It is,
she's incredible.
The women's stuff.
How much
above
does
and beyond.
The Lululemon, the deal we did with Lululemon, some co-branded stuff, incredible. Yeah.
Like what? Jackets,
tops, jackets.
Like they're
yoga pants.
The yoga pants, but your top, like the Lululemon best-selling.
That's something
top
I don't look good in. Yoga pants.
Yeah, that's a terrifying thought. The new what's it called? The new city logo or whatever this
city
year.
Edition with the blue.
The blue.
Yeah. Everybody's talking about it.
That is ridiculous. I know. The new City Edition.
It's not blue. New City, just City Edition.
City Edition, blue. The lids. My wife wears that hat. The Hawks logo is, the whole deal is jamming. Like, jamming. So, how proud are you of, I mean, listen, we're not going to gush too much over, you know, being a 7 or 8 seed, but... If the energy of the team, you feel it. You're responsible for ticket sales every night. You're responsible for kind of the energy in the building.
Yeah.
There's got to be a lot of positive vibe going around the Hawks, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I think the building feels good. We hear it from fans, from members. We hear from the team, from the front office. It feels really good as we're headed here towards the end of the season. And to be in that 7-8, we certainly would love to host that game here at State Farm Arena. It looks like that would be the 15th of April if
if you host against Orlando and you beat them, you'll play the Boston Celtics in the playoffs. Which should be a great way to pack that building.
Yeah. I mean, that's and then, you know, the nice thing about the 7-8 is you get the second bite at the apple if you don't win that game.
Yeah, then you host another game against the 9-10
Bulls or Heat.
Your the 9-10 winner. Line, now, how do you navigate that? So, playoff game, and then I'm looking at your April and May, quite busy with the concerts and all.
It's an interesting question. I know where you're going. You get contingency dates with a lot of these shows and stuff. It's a puzzle, and again, sorry to give some shout. Trey Fazell, our EVP of Arena Programming, our booker, does an amazing job in working that through.
How
so
many
we can
calendar
maximize.
Years are you out, like booking out?
Concerts in that probably 18-month range is probably it right now.
Pearl Jam coming in, you guys. Oh, I know Rusty's going to that. The 29th of April and May 1st, Pearl Jam. Your lineup is sick right now.
They're only doing 5 stops, 2 shows in each. It's a really weird tour. They're doing like Raleigh, Miami.
They're only doing 5 cities?
5 cities, 2 shows each city. And they are doing a show at Jazz Fest.
Wow.
Atlanta Dream, Indiana Fever on May the 22nd.
A home opener. Should be incredible. Obviously, Caitlin coming back.
You got Caitlin for the home opener for the Dream.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Damn. Yep. That's good.
Good for you guys. Okay. Katy Perry. I mean, you're monster concert lineup.
When's Katy Perry coming?
August 20th. Lil Baby is June 7th.
Is Atlanta more competitive? in terms of trying to book live music because there's so many venues in other cities? Or does every city have this many live venues as we do in this town?
I don't know. I mean, I think we're on par, but I think people want to come through Atlanta. They want to play at the best building with the best acoustics. That's State Farm Arena, hands down. They'd rather do a couple of shows there. We're really starting to get into these mini residencies. Look at what we did with Usher. We were actually going to have 9 Usher shows, 3 because of you know, what happened with him and his back. So we only had 6, but that's like a mini residency, and we've done
that.
So
that's what folks start to do depending on the market.
Instead of going to outlying markets, a Birmingham, a Jacksonville, great cities, no, don't want to disparage them, but a band would rather come here, play multiple shows, have people fly in here. People are flying for music now, which we didn't do.
Well, Vegas taught us, and the artists don't want to be schlepping around. Like, so the artist lands in Atlanta, and they're going to do 6 or 7 shows over 10 days.
Correct.
It's quite brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And Atlanta, you're getting in and out of. We got the hotels. You're walking to the venue. I love that.
And I think it happened and with COVID. It was like, hey, instead of putting people on trucks and going down to Florida, you got to come through Atlanta. If you're going to play Florida, you got to come through Atlanta. Everything happens in Atlanta. As we all know, Atlanta influences everything. So we think this live experience concert trajectory is just going to keep going.
And then when you start to, and I know you there's friendly competition, but you guys are all tight. And I know you root for the Braves and they root for you and everything else. But everybody gushes all, like, you know, endlessly about the Battery with good reason.
It's amazing.
And then the model of what Centennial Yards. So when people do roll through here from Birmingham and they are spending a weekend seeing their favorite bands, what can we expect, especially with World Cup coming? You help run that whole project. Is Centennial Yards on track to have us eating and drinking there in the next 18 months?
Yeah, I think, we are involved in it. It's run by the CIM Group. Brian McGowan, Ben Reeves do an incredible job. And look at, you know, you got a hotel, the Phoenix, and 300 apartments in the Mitchell. And that will be opening sometime late summer is what we hear.
Late summer?
Late summer of this year.
You
will see a hotel open directly across the street from Mercedes-Benz Stadium and State Farm Arena.
And people living there?
Yeah. Those places will be open for business.
And then the bars and restaurants, when does that start happening?
Yeah, and then there'll be bars and restaurants in the ground floor of those facilities and those buildings. And then you'll see this entertainment district. You heard the announcement about Cosm. Very excited. More to come there. That platform is up and running. We're thinking that's going to be in 26.
You need to explain that one more time.
I have a question.
Is it called Cosm?
Okay, the entertainment district, which you've heard the noise and the excitement around. The first announcement there around the entertainment district was Cosm, COSM. There are two right now. LA had the first. Dallas has the second. There are about 70,000 square feet, immersive technology. Almost think the Sphere for sports.
Yes, the Sphere for sports.
We went out there for LA and saw the LA facility when we went to go play the Lakers and the Clippers. Mm-hmm. It was incredible. It was. You can't even describe
when
how amazing
Instagram
this place is.
Shows Cosm, and there's an NFL game going on. It's like you're sitting in the end zone, and the dude is literally running right through it to your table. Like you can't even believe on social.
Oh, wow.
And then they pan out, and you realize they're not at the game, dude. They're sitting in a bar, whatever.
It's called the Dome. Is the 3 or 4 different rooms in each of these. The big room, the big selling point, it's a ticketed event, is the Dome. And it's not 10K, it's like 40K or something. I mean, it's nuts. And when you take a selfie, people are like, I did a selfie where a Pittsburgh Steeler game was going on. People are like, how did you get to Pittsburgh? I thought you were in L.A. I mean, it is so ridiculous.
It's going to be the talk of the city.
Oh, I'm so excited.
And elevated food. It's going to be incredible. So, yes, that all comes in 26.
Those are ticketed, like 500 seats or something.
I think the Dome has a certain number of seats. I don't know how many. And then they have other rooms and other different types of
experiences. So will the World Cup games all be on the Cosm by the time?
I can't speak to that, but I can tell you it's going to be incredible.
All right. You're going to sit here for the tailgate?
Sure.
We can't just sit here.
Love the tailgate.
We can't just stroke the Hawks and State Farm for like hours. Like, we have business to do here.
This is Gunnar Stockton's 4th spring with Kirby and working out and learning the ways. You think Kirby is a big fan? Listen up.
I think about if we had all gunners at every position, you know, they understand the volume of reps, what we're trying to do. He knows the offense inside and out. And then I get frustrated and impatient when other guys don't know it like him. And you have to kind of slow yourself down and say, wait a second, this guy's going through, and I don't know if it's his third or fourth. I'm assuming you're probably right. It may be his fourth. These other guys, they're in their second. They're first. I mean, it's just – it's a youthful team, and it's – it shows itself in a lot of ways.
Y'all, so Gunnar Stockton met the press. And I'm just going to say, 13 and a half minutes of, I mean this with total respect, and I literally want him to win the Heisman now. He is not great with the media. He's golly gee. He's not this big flash.
He's not
dash.
Interested in that.
He is. And I'm
he
playing a couple of
football.
Cuts because you're going to like, wait, what? So he talks a little about what he's working on this spring, I believe.
Ryan's a great guy.
Puglisi, sorry.
He's a good friend. And that's the thing about Georgia. I mean, there's going to be good competition everywhere. So, and I wouldn't want it any other way. So, no, Ryan's a great guy, and he's a great player.
Talking about the battle, well, Puglisi has his backup. Right.
Yeah.
Which is not really a battle. I mean, it's Gunnar Stockton's job.
And then what he kind of learned from Carson Beck.
I think there's a lot of good things from Carson. Heck, I watched last night. I've been working on getting my footwork and everything honed in. And he has really good footwork. And
oh my God.
There's stuff like that. And heck, the way he.
These just sounds
he
like
really processed
we get the picture.
Information really well.
Sounds like Mayberry RFD.
Wait a minute. I brought 15 more cuts just like that.
No,
seven words. And I'm, by the way, y'all, I'm not ragging on him. I was texting Rusty. I go, this guy, you want to talk about complete opposite. And I don't mean this ragging on Carson. This guy is not standing up there owning the room. He is a golly gee whiz guy. You know what he's doing? Putting in the work. Doesn't care about anything else other than football. You're also going to read some headlines. He was asked about when did you find out that Carson was going to go to Miami and not go pro. And he doesn't say it like the headlines read. The headlines are like, I found out like the rest of y'all, you know, Carson's busy. His soundbite is like, oh, I saw. Where did y'all see it? I saw it too. You know, I know Carson's
meaning
so
what?
Busy.
So where did he feel it?
But it read like Carson's being a, you know, a, it wasn't like that. He literally was like, oh, yeah, I don't really pay attention. I saw it like y'all did. And, you know, I know Carson's so busy. And I
yeah, but
he does
was,
great.
But Gunnar Stockton was never in danger of Carson Beck coming back. Carson
no, that's
Beck
not did, what he was asked. He was asked, when did you know he wasn't going pro when he was going to Miami? Because remember, he left to go pro.
But my point is for Gunnar Stockton, like, there was never a moment. He announced for the draft right away. Otherwise, Gunnar Stockton sitting around going, am I getting the job next year
but
or not?
You're
going
to read the headlines. I just wanted to say, go listen to it. Because it's nothing like they're kind of intimating that Carson.
He did 14 minutes?
Of that. Y'all, wow. I was texting Rusty. I go, I hope the guy wins a Heisman. He is the most likable, golly gee whiz, get me in, I want to watch film, I'm looking at my footwork, and, you know, so it's really good. Also interesting was, we've been talking stakes so much about these spring games and who's going to play and not going to play and should there be an opponent. Mike Gundy had a real good thought about who he thinks Oklahoma State should play.
Honestly, that's something that we've talked about. I think it's a great idea. I have kind of forgot about it. Until it got brought up. I mean, honestly, for us, we should do a home and home with OU in the spring. Charge $25 a head. They can use it for NIL. We'll use it for NIL. Nobody really has live scrimmages anymore. So you make it a full thud like we're doing and practice against them just like they do in the NFL. We're moving towards the NFL. Why not do that? So
that is very interesting.
Yeah.
That is very interesting.
So Georgia, you could do Clemson or you could do Auburn if you're not playing
them
that
playing
season.
The year.
Whoever's a couple, even, you know, a Florida
much,
State's
much
right down
higher
the road.
Rate of injury, I would imagine.
You're right, yeah.
All right. By the way, the Hawks, when are they home next?
We got April 1st, Portland.
What night of the week is that?
Tuesday. That is a
Tuesday
night.
Is that a good night for folks that haven't been down this year?
Amazing night. Go to Hawks.com for tickets. And then we got a great weekend that Saturday, Sunday. Day games, great for kids. We play the Knicks at 3. We play Utah at 1.
Wow.
And that
on
is
a Saturday and Sunday?
Saturday, Sunday.
Great.
Knicks, Utah. And then our last game is the 13th against Orlando, which could really determine
your
that
7-8
seeding. So Hawks.com for tickets. Love to see you down at State Farm Arena having some fun.
This weekend will be awesome. So good luck hosting all those folks.
be great.
A chance to see one of the premier facilities at Salsa. When we come back, Buster Olney, it's baseball time. Sports Radio 92.9.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ten oh four, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We don't want to get too nostalgic. We don't know what the future is of that, you know, theme song and the relationship with the baseball and ESPN. But we know that this guy is a baller. We know that this guy is the you hear Buster Olney, you think baseball. It's like Steak Shapiro and hamburgers or something. Buster Olney joins us from the West Coast. Thanks so much for you're up early always, but I appreciate you coming.
And I was texting him 2 hours ago when he was 5:30. Up. Buster, woo!
Well, it's opening day.
Yeah, you gotta be.
You're excited. I mean, it was hard to sleep last night because, I mean, it really is like Christmas Day in baseball. Opening day, you know, everyone's got a perfect batting average. Everyone's got a perfect ERA. Everything's going great, and we're all excited to get it going today.
So if baseball is a stock, my estimation is the stock is up, and I think last year was a good indicator. The pitch clock, star power, you know, international players, all that. Where's the stock right now? What is baseball doing well? What do they keep learning from in the evolution to getting fans excited?
Well, there's no question that the pitch clock was a rousing success. And I got my focus group of one and my 20-year-old son, who's a huge sports fan and actually a Braves fan. And, you know, 5 years ago, I'd say, hey, Jake, you want to watch a game? He's like, no, it's too boring. It's too slow. It doesn't go fast enough. And now he watches a lot of games. You know, our ratings on Sunday Night Baseball last year, like the year before, were up. I think it was 6% year over year. They've got this incredible wave of, you know, stars, from Shohei Ohtani, who, you know, is beginning to move into the Babe Ruth territory in terms of being an international star. And, you know, so there's a lot to like about it. And then off in the horizon, we have the dark clouds gathering because they have their collective bargaining agreement is set to expire at the end of 2026. And the owner's already sort of beginning to bang the drums about a salary cap, which would certainly lead to a lot of labor strife. Jeez. And I think for the first time since I started covering baseball, I think there is a real chance that we're going to see a salary cap in place in this sport. But I think there's going to be a lot of pain before they ever would get to that.
Yeah, the iterations to get to that moment and the I think pain's a good word. The arduous manner to land there is not something sports fans want to be exposed to, right, at all. They don't want to hear about it. But, you know, I know this is – I don't mean to be, you know, cliched, but it's a weird system with the Dodgers just outspending the world and putting together an international Hall of Fame-type product. And forget about, you know, the Pirates and the Tampas of the world. I mean, everybody else looking up trying to compete. So talk through that. Is that bad for baseball?
So I think big picture, 30,000 feet, it's not bad for baseball. It's not the first time we've had this situation. You know, those late 90s Yankees teams that won 4 championships in 5 years, you know, they were a dominant force in terms of how much money they spent. And I remember Billy Beane, the head of baseball operation for the A's, telling me, like, they're great for baseball. They're the traveling circus that everybody wants to see, and that's what you're going to see with the Dodgers this year. I will also tell you that during the winter, you know, I have a friend who was golfing with a major league player who I'm not going to name, but he's not on the Dodgers. And at the moment that we heard that Roki Sasaki had picked the Dodgers, this guy said to my friend, what's the point? Like, even among the players, the feeling is, my God, the Dodgers are so loaded.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, there's not as much competitive balance. And I think the Dodgers are going to be held up, rightly or wrongly, as the example by small market, mid-market owners as, we need a salary cap. We need a salary cap. Look at the Dodgers and look at what they're doing. And I think it's that again, I'm not necessarily agreeing with this, but I think the owners are going to use them as an excuse to push for something they've wanted all along.
It's not unlike the NCAAs with NIL and the notion now that the gap is just getting so enormous for the mid-majors. Yep. Like, if you even have a mid-major that can sniff playing at a different level, he's gone. That's why there's nobody outside of the big conferences there now. Reminds me a little bit of, like, there's six teams in baseball, and then it's adorable what everybody else is doing.
Yeah, I look. And I think that if the Dodgers go on and win the World Series this year, that drumbeat will grow. Now, when you really look at, you know, the competitive balance within the sport, and you understand that, you know, teams like the Diamondbacks and the Rangers played in the World Series, the Braves won in 2021. So it's not like the Dodgers have won the World Series every year.
Exactly right.
But in this moment where their payroll is, people are going to be just focused on disparity. And you know what? It's not a good situation probably for the sport that the Dodgers are spending 7 and 8 times more than some other teams.
What do the Atlanta Braves do better than most every organization that you cover, assuming that they do? And are we accurate in thinking that we have an elite franchise right here in Atlanta?
100%. One, I think Alex Anthopoulos, and I know this from talking with a lot of his peers, is regarded as one of the absolute elite, you know, head of baseball operations in the sport. There's so much respect for him. He clearly is more progressive. You know, I think he works really well in tandem with ownership there. I just coincidentally, you know, 10 days ago, I saw the Braves and Alex. They were playing down at Fort Myers, and Alex was in a booth next to where I was standing with Terry McGuirk. And I went in there and talked to those guys. There are a lot of franchises that don't have a symbiosis between ownership in the front office like the Braves do, which allows them to be progressive, be proactive in signing young players and locking up guys. You know, we're going to hear something more later today about how the Blue Jays are, you know, making last gasp attempt to sign Vladimir Guerrero Jr. The Braves are way ahead of the curve with that. And to keep homegrown stars around locked up for a long time, that gives them an advantage. The other thing, too, is they have a great culture. They pick the right guys for their clubhouse. If you're a bad guy, you're probably not going to be invited in the first place. And I know from talking with players, guys love going to Atlanta, and some of it is a lot of players are from the South. But a lot of it is the fact that their clubhouse culture is so good, and they are a lead franchise. If you did a power ranking, I think of the 30 teams right now, Dodgers are one. The Braves, I think, would be two.
And Buster, the Athletic had a poll yesterday where they polled, I believe, 1,000 Major League Baseball players, and Atlanta was the place that they would prefer to play. So it has just to be the word of mouth. And I think Brian Snicker, like you said, that clubhouse and how he runs that clubhouse is a big deal in there.
Oh, 100%. And I, you know, one of the reasons why I think Alex is one of the best general managers, and I think this is a common denominator among the best guys like him, you know, Chris Antonetti. And it's part of the reason why I think Buster Posey is going to be a success with the Giants is that there's a dollop of humility in what they do. Okay. There's not a feeling of, we know better than you. I remember talking to Alex back in like 2015, 16, when he was still with the Blue Jays, and he was talking about clubhouse culture, and his feeling when he took over that franchise was it didn't matter. And then Mark DeRosa and others convinced him, no, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
And now
he talks about it all the time.
You know,
now
everything they do now is viewed through that prism of trying to make the room better than it is or keep it as good as it is. And a lot of franchises don't think that way, especially the more I think analytically driven franchises where it's all about player value and these guys are Stratomatic cards.
We got about 90 seconds left with Buster only from ESPN. Can we go rapid fire around the league and just tidbits?
I'll do it.
All right. How good could Jerks and Profar be, you think? What are we getting in that property?
I think other than Juan Soto, he could be the best acquisition of the winter. I think last year he turned a corner. He's always been viewed as a talented guy. but I think he put some of his BS behind him, and he's a really great hitter, a perfect addition for them.
Can the Yankees overcome, obviously, their injuries and still be the team to beat in the American League East?
To make the playoffs, yes. To get back to the World Series, no. I got the Red Sox making it from the American League, which, let's face it, is vastly inferior to the National League right now.
So the Red Sox jump, is that significant based on their offseason?
Based on the addition of Garrett Crochet and Walker Buehler for the front of their rotation, Alex Bregman at third base, I think this is going to be a really an excellent team.
You have them as the third most improved team in baseball, the Red Sox.
They took a big step forward, I think, and something else to remember, they got this great wave of young, elite players coming up that are all going to hit the big leagues this year. Christian Campbell, Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, behind what's a really good major league team, and it'll allow them to make deals in midseason.
You think the Phillies?
You have them second, excuse me.
You got the Phillies on decline or not?
I think the Phillies are going to hold, and we have to remember, we talked about them for about 4 months last year as being the best team in baseball. They're still very dangerous. I think the Braves, Phillies, Mets all have the disadvantage of playing in a division where you have three of the best five teams in baseball.
And you've got Washington as the one of the most improved in the offseason.
Yeah, they've got, you know, since they made the trade of Juan Soto to the Yankees, they're now building forward. Dylan Cruz, number two overall pick in 2023. He's in the big leagues. James Woods is in the big leagues. They're growing. They won't make the playoffs this year, but they're definitely getting better.
The two or three most underrated ballpark experiences in all of Major League Baseball that we don't talk about enough.
Okay, I love Seattle. You know, the ballpark out there, T-Mobile, it's one of my favorites. I think the best ballpark, objectively, is the one in San Francisco. And I'm pandering right now, it sounds like, but I really mean this. For a baseball fan to go to Truist Park, it's awesome.
Yeah,
it is a great experience.
The whole thing, right? It's about everything that comes with it, and the battery has it. Buster Olney, let's have a great year at ESPN. Thanks for coming on.
All right, guys. Great to talk with you.
Always. Thanks so much, Sandy. Thanks for making
that happen. ESPN will have the game on Sunday night. It's Braves and Padres, and Buster will be there. Yeah.
Great stuff. Getting you ready for opening day. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Stake Shapiro and Sandra Golden. Realizing a lot going on, and Atlanta's going to be rocking and rolling this weekend. There's all kinds of stuff happening in town. Hawks will be on the road, though, for a little while. They're back at it tonight in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
A really bad Miami Heat team, the worst team they've had. Are they just – they're in the 9 or 10. What are they?
They're currently – let me double-check that. But they did win. I will say they did spoil Jimmy Butler's return to Miami the other night. So,
yeah, but Steph Curry didn't play, right?
Well, yeah.
So – how'd Jimmy Butler play in that game, by the way? Did you watch that game?
I watched a little bit of it. He did okay.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, like I said, it was
without Steph,
a bad home.
No, the Heat had like an 11-game losing streak or 10-game or something. So, whatever. I mean, that doesn't.
Yeah, they're currently in the 10th seed.
What's their
Chicago's
record?
Chicago's ahead of them. They are 31-41.
Yeah. That's not Heat culture, right? Okay.
No, not what we're accustomed to.
I guess not. So, we got that going on. In town here, we had Andrew Saltzman on earlier. Tickets are super high for the State Farm Arena because you get you buy the block, did he call it, the strip?
You get three games. You have to buy
them all.
You get
three games, right. You have to buy them all at once, which is why the number is what it is.
But if your team is – if you want to go on Sunday, your team's still standing, that's going to be the ticket.
Yeah, that would be a very
totally
affordable ticket. As soon as your team loses, all due respect, the Michigan State and Ole Miss fans are not really spending another two nights at a hotel – so they could be in town, or if they play at 5 o'clock, which they could possibly play at 2:30 or 5 on Sunday, it's going to be hard to get out of Atlanta. So you're talking about at least another night in town. They're going to dump those tickets. Michigan State or Ole Miss, one of them will be in the game, so I shouldn't say that. Let's assume Michigan loses. They'll dump those tickets, those Michigan fans. Let's say Ole Miss wins. You'll have an all-SEC final, Ole Miss and Auburn, and those tickets will be real easy for Sunday. Not so much for Friday night.
The Savannah Bananas are at Truist on Saturday and Sunday. And I want to bring this up because what a fun day if you're going out there. So the Padres, Braves at Padres, Saturday 7:15 and 7:10 on Sunday night. So those are those two nights, Savannah Bananas are that's sold out in front of Truist too. So I'm guessing the atmosphere is going to be so fun with all the music and all the games. And
a lot of stuff going on before both of those games in the Battery, probably in the green space. They're going to have parades and face painting and
so
different
great.
Stuff like
parades
that.
For the Bananas.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. In celebration of the Bananas being there, they're okay. They just want to get people in the Battery. So,
that's so
yeah.
smart. And by the way, all of our Braves baseball is brought to you by insider Grant McCauley. Every single Sunday, he's on the air right here at 9 a.m. It's all brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. It's From the Diamond with Grant McCauley.
Yeah, today 4:10 start, and then everything else is nighttime for us.
9:40 Friday night, 7 o'clock, and 7 o'clock, and then then they're at the Dodgers, and then it's 10 o'clock starts.
Yeah, so the Padres essentially have 3 day games. Mm-hmm. They've got today at 1, Saturday and Sunday at 4. That's West Coast time. For us, they're all night games except for today. But just keep your eye on the Friday night game. That goes the latest. That's at 9:40. Mm-hmm. All right, a couple of other quick little things we got to get to. The tonight's games, by the way, that are happening, which we haven't gone over yet, right? And the rest of the regionals. But there's 4 games.
Do you have the lines in front of you, too? Let me throw them out there, and you tell us the lines if you can get them in front of you.
You want me to guess them? You want me to tell you? No, let's just let's do the real deal.
All right. First up tonight, BYU-Alabama is at 7 o'clock.
Yeah. Obviously, SEC favored by 5 in that game. BYU kind of the darling left in the tournament, one of the biggest offenses in the entire tournament, the biggest over-under, 176 on that game.
4-1 seeds in Maryland and Florida, that's at 7:39.
Maryland, Florida, Gators by 6.
Okay.
So the Terps out of the Big Ten. You know, you see the pattern. The SEC teams are going to be favored. I don't know what that means because a lot of them didn't cover, although Bama's covered both of their games. Florida has not covered either one of their games.
9:39, 4-1 in Arizona and Duke.
Yeah, Duke's almost double digits, 9.5. So Duke, they remind me of Connecticut. There's no number big enough that they can't cover. So they're 9.5-point favorites tonight at the, as you said, 9:40. And that's the CBS game as well.
And then nightcap as 10:09, it says Arkansas and Texas Tech.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much you know about Texas Tech, but they are a really good basketball team. Arkansas is on a roll, and they're getting 5.5 points. So I would think the public would love to bet John Calipari. The public probably thinks Arkansas just beat St. John's, so that says something about them. But the Vegas knows they're 5.5-point underdogs, so that's a dangerous number tonight.
If you had to put $1 on it,
I would take. I would take Texas Tech because I think the public's going to want to bet on Arkansas, okay. And I think, you know, Arkansas playing really good basketball last couple of months, but I don't know. That seems like a big number. So I'd probably go the other way and just take Texas Tech. But I have no idea. Nobody could pick games worse. The tournament is absolutely the toughest thing I've ever seen to pick. Like, literally. When you have 30-point numbers that, like, I don't know. I think they can cover 30, but then, like, a couple of 30-point favorites, 1 by 15 or 1 by 20. Now you got to check. Like, I have no idea. Like, I'm the last person to ask, and I know college basketball. This is the toughest thing to gamble on that I've ever seen. All right?
Okay. I'm just
trying to be honest. I'm trying to be transparent.
We appreciate you falling on the sword of being a terrible bettor for basketball. So I'm definitely taking Arkansas. Thank you for that little nugget. If you guys just missed Buster Olney, the main thing that jumped out at me when you asked him about Jurickson Profar, without hesitation, he said, I think that's the best acquisition in Major League Baseball aside from Juan Soto.
Yeah, and there were some there were some huge acquisitions in baseball, especially with the Red Sox, who he just has.
He has as the second most improved team, and he has them winning the East.
Yeah,
East.
Yeah, they were nowhere, and they haven't beaten out of Toronto, Baltimore, New York, and they had a couple of great, and to be ahead of everything Boston did and still say Jerks and Profar for a first place type team as the Braves, that's a big deal.
Exciting.
All right, let's do this Stephen A. Smith LeBron thing, right?
LeBron goes on Pat McAfee, and I guess the
Pacers, by the way, McAfee getting LeBron for an hour.
Lakers were playing the Pacers. I don't know when, if that was taped or that was yesterday afternoon.
It was yesterday afternoon. By the way, LeBron hits at the buzzer last night. Literally at the buzzer, tip in on a miss. They win by one. Which
of course
was,
he does. Of course he does.
Luka misses the shot and LeBron taps it in. Anyway.
All right. Well, he did not mince words. Let's just get to the good stuff.
He's like on a Taylor Swift tour run right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're watching it. Yep. We're awesome. Mm-hmm.
If there's one person that couldn't wait to the video to drop so you can address it, it's your ass. Like, seriously, I completely, like, missed the whole point. Never would I ever not allow people to talk about the sport, criticize players about what they do on the court. That is your job. But when you take it and you get personal with it, it's my job to not only protect my damn household, but protect the players.
He dropped so many F-bombs in this interview, and he just tries to mock. And McAfee, they're so good at sucking up. And I mean, McAfee's the king. He gets everybody.
I don't think McAfee and Stephen A. get along either.
I don't know. He's been on his show a bunch of times. Is there something with McAfee and Stephen A. that they don't get along?
My perception was they didn't get along.
I think he plays both sides of the fence with everybody.
For him to win.
Hands on me, I would have immediately.
Yeah. So, all right, here's one more from LeBron talking about Brian Windhorst.
I see a lot of too. Like, I seen Brian Windhorst on one of these shows not too long ago. Like,
Wendy.
This
guy was like, you know, says he's like my best friend. These guys are just weird.
This guy says he's my effing best friend. Do you have the Stephen A. response?
Oh, here we go. So Stephen A. yesterday afternoon goes on his own rants.
I have worked with Brian Windhorst for years. Never once did he say that LeBron was a best friend. A matter of fact, years earlier, it was LeBron who sat in front of the microphones and said, probably nobody knows me better.
He continued. In fact, now he's getting himself riled up and calls LeBron a liar.
His ass lies a lot. Shady stuff that he does. And one of the things is his passive aggressiveness and the two-facedness and smile in your face and dig you behind the back. I happen to know that about him, which is why I don't like him. But it doesn't stop me from being fair.
Damn. This is the definition of when stuff's going on in the real world. We get to live in our own little sports bubble. And like, you know, in the spectrum of anything significant, it means nothing. In the spectrum of the Real Housewives of the NBA, meaning like, this is great stuff. The biggest media star, the biggest player on the planet. He talked about Michael Jordan, LeBron. Me and Michael don't talk. And until I'm done playing and going after his records, we ain't going to talk. He said, I didn't talk to Kobe when I played. This Pat McAfee interview with LeBron was
phenomenal.
Fantastic. Okay? I love the Jordan stuff. But Stephen A. Smith saying, it's a little weird to literally say the guy you cover, I don't like you.
How about right? He said, play the other thing about it.
I want to hear it more.
In fact, I want to hear it daily.
About strength,
put his hands on me, I would have immediately swung on him.
Oh.
Uh-oh. So, I don't know that that's so going to go funny. Well for
Stephen
He'd
Steven still be it. Swinging.
Yeah. You can swing. You would swing and miss. I love how they got the Stephen A. Smith at his house with one of those trainers. And it's like,
totally going after him about, you can tell Stephen A.'s not in the gym. Look at his outfit. Like, Kevin Hart doing it. By the way, that is so... I worked in sports radio for 20 years. That is such a guy thing that you guys do. Man, if he would have done it.
So it is a dude thing.
Oh, my God.
Hey, we'll play three strikes. It's a bro dude thing. We'll play three strikes a lot more. Sports Radio 929. I don't mean to be like that. I'm sorry. It's the steakhouse. It's just like... trying to work on three strikes here. My name is Steak. That's Sandra. We have a two-hour show every day. It's called The Steakhouse. I love having Sandy. We haven't had 3 days like this in a row, and she's the baseball lady. That's why we got Chipper and Snit and Buster. But I'm working on three strikes, and then I just hear you in the background. Like, I have a process.
No, well, you're loud and gagging around. You and Day-Day are talking about Michael Jordan, and I was like, get – your head together, people. Zip it. And then I had to tell Day-Day to stop talking to you. So right. Now you're all up in arms, and then you're on another tangent. And I was like, okay, well, here's some suggestions.
We've been doing this.
And then you said, shut it.
We've been doing it. I said, no, I just said, no. Like subconsciously. I didn't even. That's
Make
how
her
well.
Stop.
And
Make
she didn't even
stop.
Take offense. She's like, hey, maybe like win totals and blah, blah, blah. And like subconsciously, no. I just go, no. Just like, in other words, that's what my kid Bobby does when I start talking, and he just goes, no. Like, just dad, stop. I mean, we have a 1-2 punch, me and my 13,
so
where
cute.
I terrorize him.
Aww.
Like, give me, what's the day today? 1 to 10, give it to me. What's your mindset, right? And then I'll just keep peppering him. And I was like, yeah, what's the most annoying quality about mom? What's my most annoying quality? Yeah, what's the one time you're to,
oh, that's
you know,
cute.
Why do you just eat the same thing at lunch every day, right? So by the time we get home, when I pick him up, he's just like, no,
Worn
please,
out.
Just dad, stop. Just like, I go, what, dude? What? You can't come. I mean, it is a comedy show within ourselves. Now, I don't know if he's, I think someday he'll think it's funny because I don't get a laugh, but I'm doing my routine right next to him. So, but I can say about Sandra, she started yapping and I was just like, no, like don't. And I did it. You know, I didn't even realize I was saying it. I'm apologizing, but I'm trying to create three strikes.
I'm watching your help. I'm watching the fail.
I don't need your help.
I'll zip
when
it.
When I'm talking,
let me give
talking.
You the game of the night. And ladies and gentlemen, it's at 4:10 today with our Atlanta Braves in San Diego. And I cannot wait for the season. You just heard Buster Olney. Wow. By the way, I'm very curious how his kid is a Braves fan. I'm going to text him and ask him. So there you go. John Foy brings us your game of the night, of the evening. Let's go Braves. Make it happen. Win the division, World Series. And as Chipper Jones told you yesterday, why don't we forget the World Series or bust and just be like 162 and healthy?
Yeah.
And I liked that a lot.
Let's have a great summer. Let's put up great numbers. Mm-hmm. Let's watch some of our young stars excel. Let's see what the back end of this rotation looks like. Let's see how our bullpen, you know, some new faces in and out of there. Grant Holmes, I'm fascinated by his start coming up on Monday in L.A., mm-hmm. right, against the Dodgers. That, to me, is going to be super cool. So there's just so many storylines with
the Braves. A.J. Smith-Shawver on Thursday, y'all, because
yeah.
I have a little insight down in Northport, what he was doing and looking like.
Ronaldo Lopez going tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
and that is the night game, right? It's a
9:40, and then 7:10 on Saturday, and ESPN game of the night. So Ronaldo Lopez, Spencer Schwellenbach, A.J. Smith-Shawver.
So think about it. We're going to have the Michigan-Auburn game tipping off about the same time as first pitch of the Braves-Padres. Just a little note. So when our buddy Abe invites his date over, he's gonna have a lot of game. Remember, Abe has got 4 TVs in his living room,
mm-hmm.
Not in his basement. He doesn't have a basement. I was like, he says it's a problem with women if they were ever there because they walk in and they just see my entire house is just TVs going off. So it's gonna be a busy night for Abe tomorrow night. Here's our three strikes question: favorite movie or TV show about or set in the South? Favorite movie or TV show about or set in the South? It's great to listen to Ron Howard on podcasts just talk about the atmosphere on the Andy Griffith set and his relationship with Don Knotts and Andy Griffith and the house show. That show's funny now. It was funny then.
So good.
It's just classic.
Aunt B.
America Aunt B, yeah. Worst fruit. Worst fruit in honor of the Savannah bananas.
Mm-hmm.
My wife will not do bananas. It's not happening, right? What's worst? Do you have a worst fruit?
Let me think on that. I love fruit.
Yeah.
Good gracious. Mm. Worst
That's
fruit.
A great thing to love. I wish I did. I don't have high fruit game. And finally, opening day starter from your youth you remember growing up. It's still a big deal, but I mean, when I'm growing up, so Louis Tiant would start for Boston. Mike Torres, 1 year, we got him from the Yankees. Remember him opening day. Like, the opening day starter thing, like, is real,
yeah.
You know? So, and I'm thinking more when you're growing up. Opening day starter when you were growing up that you remember.
Right.
Like, that was our guy, you know? 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929.
How about in 1983, Phil Niekro was your starter? in 1983.
How many years? Why did you look that up?
Because I remember being there.
Oh, because you were there.
I think I don't remember if that was it, but I did, there was another year that he started as well, and he's one of. You know what I did? I was been going through some stuff, and I found an autographed ball from Phil Niekro to me.
Yeah.
He was one of my all-time favorites, so I know all of y'all have some of those.
Phil Niekro, and we've been around a lot of great people.
He's just the greatest.
But there's no finer human being.
He's a gentleman. Mm.
No, there's no finer human being I've ever been around than Phil Niekro.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, that guy, you know, I used to see him here, see him at events. I saw him on a plane. Me and my wife were together. She's like, that man, not only is he super handsome, but the kindest, sweetest.
Yeah.
I mean, absolute gem. Dale Murphy, very similar, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm looking at Braves opening day starters. Give me a year.
94.
1994, Greg Maddux.
There you go.
No surprise there.
Yeah.
Go back in the days of Rick Mailer, Phil Niekro, there's your 83.
2002
was Tommy Glavine. So for, let me just give you a stretch. Starting in 1990, Braves opening day starters, starting in 1990. Glavine, Smoltz, Glavine, Maddux, 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 Smoltz, Maddux, Glavine, Maddux, Burkett. I think it's John.
John, yeah.
Then Glavine, Maddux, and then Ortiz. That's who we got from San Fran that year. Juan Ortiz, I think it was.
Yeah.
What's his name? Russ Ortiz.
Russ Ortiz, yeah. Timmy Hudson had to be in there sooner than later, right?
So Hudson.
Yep.
So I'll just keep going. Russ Ortiz, then Smoltzy in 2005. Mm-hmm. Hudson in 6. Smoltzy in 7. Hudson in 8. Derek Lowe, 2009, 2010, and 2011. It's Derek Lowe. Tommy Hansen, who no longer
rest
with us.
Peace.
Rest in peace. Mm-hmm. And then Hudson.
Julio Teheran had how many years in a row?
7.
Oh my goodness, 7 years. I would have lost that bet
on that if I was 4, 5.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. It's 7 years in a row, Julio Teheran.
Good article, by the way, Mike Soroka, who's now with the Nationals, hoping, pulling for him. What a great guy he was.
You mentioned him. He was 2020.
Right.
Mike Soroka was our 2020 opening
And for Max
starter.
Fried to be in that Yankees uniform, I'm going to need a minute, y'all. I'm going to need some Chardonnay on some ice right then. That's going to hurt. That's going to hurt my feelings.
Which is different from Thursday's how. Just
it's a Thursday.
Bigger goblet. Bigger goblet, something. Anyways, 404-726-0929. Braves, very small favorite today. So we shall see. Dodgers, do they have the Tigers? Did I see that right?
Yeah, that's where ESPN is, Dodgers, Tigers. I'm going to ask you again. You would take the Dodgers against the field to win it all.
Well,
right now.
Yeah, even money? Oh, even money. You're getting 240 if you bet the Dodgers. Yeah, I mean, what's the field? It's like six
other
teams.
The Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, you get
the Mets, the Phillies.
Braves, Mets, Yankees, who else in the National League? I don't know. Somebody's going to merge. Yeah, I'm just thinking about like who are we not factored in the mix. 404-726-0929. Listen, I hope to hell that the Dodgers don't get the payoff. Stan Kasten, you talk about it.
Orioles were not mentioning.
Orioles.
Astros were not mentioning.
Well, look at what the Astros lost in the offseason. Look at what the Orioles.
They're up there, though.
They haven't taken care of their young players.
I cannot believe the Red Sox win total. Take a guess what it is.
91.
86.5.
Yeah. Should be higher,
right? I just sent you that article.
They
from
won 81 last year, and that was not a good team. They were 81-81. They went out and got a couple of the best acquisitions in baseball. For anyway, I don't know. Let's play three strikes.
Okay.
404-726-0929. Really good stuff with Buster Olney. Also saying they could be headed to a labor. Strike or something.
I raise my hand, and I hope baseball fans don't get mad, but I am a big fan of a salary cap.
Yeah,
if they're forced to spend it.
If they're forced
to make them spend it.
100% right. Have a number.
I'd be on board with it if that was the case.
Paul on the road. Paul, favorite movie or TV show about or set in the South?
Andy Griffith.
Worst fruit?
Oh, got to be a slimy avocado.
Opening day starter from your youth, you remember?
Nuxie.
Hey, thank you. Is avocado a fruit?
I think it is considered a fruit.
You like a papaya?
I don't like a mango. I don't like mango. It does something to my jaw. It gives me that,
I know. Favorite movie or TV show set in the South or about the South? Jeff.
Jeff. Yeah, I'm going to go with the 80s flick, Dallas.
The TV show. Yeah. Worst fruit?
Prune.
Opening day starter from your youth, or that you remember?
Doc Gooden.
Damn right, brother.
Yeah,
I didn't see how many opening day starters that guy had. John and Cumming. Hey, John, what's your favorite movie or TV show set in or about the South?
Forrest Gump.
Good one.
Worst fruit?
Plums.
You got to be ripe. They got to be perfectly right.
Yeah.
The flavor. I love a plum.
Opening day starter from your youth, you remember?
Steve Carlton.
Huh? Yeah, these are legendary number one starters.
Fernando Venezuela.
Yeah.
Good one.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call. Fernando.
I know y'all are guys and didn't watch Designing Women, but when I tell you that show was way ahead of its time in terms of sarcasm and you shouldn't stay safe on TV, that was brilliant writing.
Did you like Steel Magnolias?
Yes.
Do you like My Cousin Vinny?
Right? That's right. I forgot it. That's a good one. What's a fruit you hate? I've never seen you eat a piece of fruit in my life. I was just thinking about that.
I don't hate.
Like, it's not like you come in and have a fruit basket.
I don't
basket.
Hate, but I don't know.
You don't love fruit. Things I love.
Peaches don't. I don't know. That's so. Listen, we got to go.
All right, bye.
Rusty's here. Going to be a great night. Thank you, Day-Day. Thank you, Bo. Thanks for making the steakhouse part of your day. Bye.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.